The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
Jesus said, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own."
Why is it that worry sneaks into our minds when we know it's unproductive? Pastor Greg Laurie says worry can actually be harmful.
Listen to this. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry doesn't make things better. Worry actually makes things worse.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Experts say when you find yourself in a hole with no way out, step one, stop digging. So often we find ourselves with our backs against the wall. Things are a mess and we can't see any clear way out. So we worry, thinking those mental gymnastics might help us find the answer. But it only makes the problem worse. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie explains faith is the path that leads to the Lord's help. But faith and worry are mutually exclusive.
Okay, I heard about a lady who was lonely and she wanted someone to talk to. So she thought, maybe I'll get a talking parrot. So she went down to the pet store and said, "Do you have any parrots that talk?" And the pet store manager said, "Oh, ma'am, I have the perfect parrot. This parrot chatters nonstop. You'll love this bird." So she bought the bird, got the cage, took it home. A week and a half passes. She comes back to the pet store to the manager and said, "That bird you sold me, he doesn't talk." The man said, "Well, ma'am, did you buy the parrot a mirror? Parrots love mirrors. And if they can see their reflection, they'll chatter away." So she bought a mirror, took it home. Another week and a half passes, and she returns to the pet store and says to the manager, "The parrot still hasn't said a single word." He said, "Ma'am, did you buy him a swing? Parrots love swings. And if you give him a swing, he'll talk endlessly." So she bought a swing, took it home. Another week and a half passes, and she returns back and says, "That parrot still isn't talking." "Wait," he said, "do you have a ladder for the parrot? They love the ladder in the cage to go up and down. He'll talk away if you get him a ladder." So she got him a ladder, took it home. Another week passes. She returns back to the pet store. She says, "Not only did that parrot not talk, the parrot actually died." He said, "Oh no. Did he ever say anything?" She says, "As a matter of fact, right before he died, he did finally speak." And the pet store manager said, "Ma'am, tell me, what did the parrot say?" She said, "The parrot said, 'Don't they have any food down at that pet store?'" Yeah, you know, the problem is she had her priorities all out of whack. She was missing the obvious. And that is what worry does. That's why I want to talk to you in this message about worry. You know, the Bible tells us to not be anxious about anything or not worry about anything, as we'll see in our text before us in a moment. And that word means to be pulled in different directions. That's what fear and worry will do in your life. Your hope will pull you in one direction. Your fears will pull you in the other. And you find yourself focusing on the wrong things and missing the point, like that lady with a bird that didn't talk. You know, I think you can feel the worry in the air right now during this coronavirus epidemic. This pandemic, really, as the experts warned us, we had national panic sweep our nation because we were told, oh, our hospitals are going to be overrun. And millions of people are going to die. And then we don't have enough masks and we don't have enough ventilators. And we're all in a national panic. Well, now that things are finally starting to calm down, we have a whole new set of worries. Am I going to have a job to go back to when I can work again? Will I get the coronavirus if I go back to work. One expert said, quote, coronavirus has caused a mass emotional event in our lives. We've all experienced it collectively. According to recent research, this pandemic is causing strong negative emotions for most Americans, and prescriptions for antidepressants are up. The use of anti-anxiety and insomnia medication has increased. And it's even worse than that. I just heard from a nurse that works in the pediatric ICU at a hospital, and she said, we have so many suicides among young people because of the quarantine. So there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear in the air right now. Now, somebody watching me might be saying, wow, you know, I kind of tuned in to get some hopeful words and I was feeling pretty good till you started speaking and now I'm totally stressed out. Well, that's why I want to share some hopeful words with you from the scripture. This is the last message in a series we've been doing called Quarantine Life. We've all been experiencing that together, haven't we? And these are the words of the Apostle Paul to the believers in Philippi. He was under house arrest. Why? Well, he had appealed to Caesar. He'd been preaching the gospel. He was arrested. And as a Roman citizen, he had the right to appeal to Caesar. So now he's waiting an appearance before the leader of Rome. But it's a very uncertain future. He didn't know if he was going to be acquitted or beheaded. And plus, there were some believers that were divided. Some were for Paul, some were against him. So he could be super stressed out. But instead of worrying, Paul is rejoicing and living in great peace. Instead of complaining, he gives to us the secret of victory over worry. Don't you want to know what that secret is? I'm going to give it to you right now, no charge. Look at your Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul writes these words, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Or another way to translate that is, don't worry about anything. But in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So here's point number one if you're taking notes. The believer should not worry. The believer should not worry. Why? Because worrying is simply not a productive thing to do. In fact, when we worry, it's really a failure on our part to trust God. It's interesting that the word worry comes from a word that can translate out to choke. That's what worry does. It sort of chokes you. You know, a while ago, my grandkids and I were playing and we were sort of wrestling a little bit and they were like choking me from behind. And one of them jumped on my back and was hanging on my neck. And I said, okay, get off now. And they really enjoyed it. And they came over the next time and they said, Papa, that's what they call me. Can we choke you again? No, Papa wants to live to give another sermon someday. And that's what worry does. It just chokes you out. It creates a mental and emotional strangulation in your life. It doesn't make things better. Worry actually makes things worse. Because when you worry about the future, you cripple yourself in the present. Listen to this. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Let me repeat that. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There's an old fable that is told of the day that death went to visit a certain town. And as death was walking in, a man stopped death and said, what are you doing? Death said, I'm going to go into that town and I'm going to take 100 lives today. The man said, that's horrible. And he ran ahead of death and warned everybody that death was coming. As the day came to an end and the sun was setting, the man met death again and said, you said you were only going to take 100 lives, but 1,000 people died. What happened? Death said, I kept my word. I only took 100. Worry took the rest. And that's how worry works in our life. So the believer should not worry.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here, inviting you to join me every weekend for what we call Harvest at Home. It's a church service, it's a worship service, it's a Bible study, and it's wherever you want it to be. In your home, in your car, sitting on a beach, walking down the street, watching it on your phone, wherever you are, you can take it with you and be ministered to every weekend. Join us for Harvest at Home at harvest.org.
We're glad you're along for Pastor Greg's message today, the final presentation in his Quarantine Life series. It's a study called The Cure to Worry.
Listen to this. Point number two, if you're taking notes, instead of worrying, I should rejoice. Instead of worrying, I should rejoice. Look at Paul's words, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Know this, rejoicing is a scriptural command. It's not a suggestion. You are commanded to rejoice. Let me take it a step further. To fail to rejoice is actual disobedience to God. Now, notice it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You don't have to rejoice in your circumstances. I think sometimes Christians think that whatever happens, they should rejoice in it. Oh, I'm so thankful that I just wrecked my car. I'm so thankful that I found out I'm very sick. No, here's what you say. I'm so thankful that despite the fact that I wrecked my car and I'm sick, God is still on the throne and he still loves me. I'm so thankful that God, according to Romans 8:28, can cause all things to work together for good to those that love the Lord. So that's what it means. Rejoice in the Lord, not merely in your circumstances. You know, I think a lot of people just take themselves a bit too seriously. They're always a downer. And have you noticed people love to judge you now on social media, especially? If you post a photo, they'll comment, what about social distancing? Why aren't you wearing a mask? You know, and people are just very negative right now and very critical right now. And there's a lot of division right now. You know, I think when this virus first hit, we heard all of the scary news. We pulled together. We did our part. We sheltered in place. And now that we're beginning to be able to go out again, people are upset and they're angry, and now everything seems to be dividing along political lines, and maybe we're more divided than we have ever been. So it's good to just lighten up a little bit. You know, the Bible says that when you have a relationship with God, there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Solomon writes in Proverbs 15:15, a cheerful heart is a continual feast. So rejoice. That's what Paul is saying. Look, King, he's saying, loose paraphrase, look, King, if anyone can be depressed, it's me. If anyone can be down, it's me. If anyone's facing an uncertain future as I write these words, it's me. But here's what I'm saying to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Listen to this verse that talks about how to face adversity in Habakkuk 3:17-18. It says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in the God of my salvation. What? The words of a crazy man? No, the words of a man who knew that God was still in control. The words of a person that knows they're loved by God just as you are. We could update this verse and it would say something along these lines. Hey, even though the economy is tanked and they're downsizing at work and the insurance rates are up and my car is out of gas, I'm joyful in the God of my salvation. Again, no matter what's going on, I can rejoice in the Lord. You know, God's plans for you are still good, and he has promised he'll never leave you or forsake you. Think about this. Paul and Silas were in prison for preaching the gospel. And we read at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises to God. Now, they were literally in a Roman dungeon. Their backs had been torn open with a Roman whip. But at midnight, they're singing praises to God, and the other prisoners are listening. Listen, the midnight hour is not the easiest time to sing praises to God, nor is it the easiest time to sing his praises when you're in the doctor's office waiting for the results of your lab test you just had done, or when you're in the hospital waiting room when your loved one is having surgery, or a thousand other scenarios that we can come up with. So there are three steps you need to take if you want to find the cure to worry. Write this down. Three things you need to do if you want to find the cure to worry. Number one, it's right praying. That's verses 6-7. Right praying. Number two, right thinking. That's verse 8. And finally, right living. That's verse 9. Right praying, right thinking, right living. Let's start with the first one. Right praying. The next time you're tempted to worry, pray instead. We need to get into the habit of turning to God when we feel worry approaching and develop what we might call a conditioned reflex. Okay, let me compare a natural reflex to a conditioned reflex. A natural reflex is what I immediately feel without even being told I should feel it. For instance, if I put my hand in fire, I immediately pull my hand back because why? It's hot and it hurts, right? That's a natural reflex. A conditioned reflex is something I learned to do. For instance, if I'm at a sporting event, remember those when we used to go to sporting events? And someone says, or someone's going to sing the national anthem. What do? We all stand. We stand out of respect for our nation, or if we are giving the Pledge of Allegiance, we put our hand over our heart. We learned to do that. That wasn't natural. That is what you would call a conditioned reflex. Think about when you first learned how to drive a car. Remember what that was like? You were so excited. And then you got behind the wheel of this vehicle, and there's so many things to remember. And I don't know why, but I learned to drive on a stick shift car instead of an automatic transmission. It's hard enough with an automatic transmission, but all the shifting and the clutch and the brake, and you hit the brake instead of the clutch, and the gears are grinding, and all these things you have to think about. And then you're coming to turn, and you go, oh, I have to turn my signal on, you know, and you turn it on. Now I have to turn it off, and all these things. And then after a while, you drive a little bit, and now you just get in your car. You don't even think about it. It's because you've developed what you would call a conditioned reflex. You know how to drive now. Okay, so now let's apply this to worry. When trouble comes our way, and it does, doesn't it? When bad news comes our way, when something scary happens, our first inclination, our natural reflex, if you will, is to worry. Oh, no, worry, panic. But here's what you need to teach yourself to do. We'll call this a learned reflex. You pray instead. So the moment you start to panic, you turn your panic into a prayer. You turn your worry into worship. You turn to God immediately. That is what Paul is telling us that we should do. Develop this conditioned reflex and put the matter in the hands of God. What does he tell us to do in this cure for worry? In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything by prayer. We pray about the big stuff. Don't forget the little stuff, because little problems can turn into big problems, especially if they're neglected. Maybe you think, oh, I can handle this and this will never be a problem for me. And one day it's a big problem. Little things turn into big things. Think about David and Goliath. Now, we call Goliath a giant. He wasn't a mythical character. He was just a big dude, that's all. 9 feet, 6 inches tall, solid muscle, covered in body armor with a giant shield and a really big sword, facing off with David, a shepherd boy armed basically with a slingshot. But David sized up his giant and realized his God was bigger than this giant that he was facing. Think about this, though. Goliath wasn't always a giant. He once was a little baby. I bet he was a big baby, though, right? Nobody ever wanted to change Goliath's diapers. I did it last time. You do it. Yeah. So the little baby turned into a giant. Little problems become big problems. And it's interesting because in the story of David and Goliath there in the Valley of Elah, Goliath was down in this valley that separated the Philistine army from the Israeli army. And he says, send someone down here to fight me. And if I win the battle, then you serve us. And if your representative wins the battle, we'll serve you. And then we read, sometimes people miss this, Goliath started coming up into the camp of the Israelites. So he didn't just stay in the valley. He's getting in their face. Hey, come on, man, who's going to fight me? That's how those little sins can be. They get bigger and bigger. So we need to remember in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Number three, when you pray instead of worry and you rejoice instead of panic, you will have God's supernatural peace. Let me say that again. When you pray instead of worry and when you rejoice instead of panic, you will have peace. Look at Philippians 4:7. Paul writes, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard. You might want to underline that word. It'll guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Paul uses a military term here for guard. He's saying God's peace will literally stand guard around your heart and protect you if in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your request be made known to God. It's as though Sergeant Peace has been assigned to watch over you. So when you go to sleep at night, when you lay your head on that pillow and your mind is flooded with worry, you can say, Lord, I cast all of my care upon you because your word tells me that you care for me, and you can experience the peace of God that passes human understanding. You see, it will stand guard over the two areas of your life that cause worry. That's the heart, our emotions, our wrong feelings, and over our mind, that's the wrong thinking. So if you want to overcome worry, it starts with right praying.
Pastor Greg Laurie, with good practical insight today on how we can avoid worry in our lives. And there's more to come as this study continues here on A New Beginning. For a replay of today's helpful message, you can go to harvest.org. Just look for the study called The Cure to Worry. Or to order a copy on CD, call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. You know, Pastor Greg, I remember a local quarantine order came down where I live, and, you know, it basically said, all right, everybody stay home. And I understand that within minutes, just minutes, the local supermarkets were overrun with people panic shopping. Should we ever be afraid that, you know, we're just going to run out of food and God's going to let us die?
No, I don't think we do. And I think, you know, I remember the words of Franklin Delano Roosevelt during World War II. And he said to America, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And he had a good point there. Because your fear of what may happen can override what actually is happening. And a lot of the problems we've had in the supermarkets is not with the lack of supply. It's rather because people are being irrational and basically they're hoarding. So I think that we need to just be reasonable about these things. And, you know, we want to be prepared for the future, but we certainly don't want to worry about it. You know, when Jesus addressed this in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, look at the birds, you know, and your Father takes care of them. You know, and I'm amazed by birds. You know, they get up every morning. This morning I was woken up by the little birds chirping and they're always singing. And yet they don't have the promises of God in their life like we do. A bird doesn't have the assurance of eternal life like the Christian has. But they wake up every morning just chirping away happily, welcoming the new day. I've never seen a bird popping a Valium. But they're, you know, they just know that intuitively that everything's fine. You know, there's an old poem that goes along these lines. Said the robin to the sparrow, friend, I'd really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. So that kind of conveys the idea that God takes care of nature. Jesus says, look at the birds, look at the flowers. They neither toil nor spin, but your Father takes care of them. And Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then here's his real point he's building up to. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He did not say, don't think about the things of life. But he said, don't worry about these things. And he pointed to the birds. He pointed to the flowers as an illustration. So we need to take that to heart. So to help you to do that, in fact, I deal with that text and more from the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, in my brand new book that I've just written called Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. And basically, it's a book that deals with fear, anxiety, worry in the light of COVID-19 and all the problems that it has brought on our culture. And I want to give this to you for free. Let's say that again and put echo on it this time, Dave. Okay. I want to give it to you for free. That's right, because I want you to have it. But listen, if you can send a gift to support our ministry, we would really appreciate it, because we want to keep reaching more people with the gospel, not only here in the New Beginning, but also through our online church service that happens every Sunday that we call Harvest at Home, that you can watch at Harvest Online. We are seeing, I'm not exaggerating, people, we are seeing thousands of people coming to Jesus Christ. To me, it's like, well, it looks revival-like. And I pray it continues. So join us for Harvest at Home at harvest.org every Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. And we should say there's so much to gain throughout the week as well. Sometimes we'll feature a Q&A time with Pastor Greg, women's ministry with Kathy Laurie, and even motion pictures. Check out Harvest at Home at harvest.org. And remember, Pastor Greg would like to send you his new book, Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. And if you can help with an investment right now to keep this ministry available, we'd really appreciate it. But either way, request the book as soon as you can. We'll only be mentioning this resource a short time longer. Just write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. And then just before we go, someone reached out via social media and said, a coworker of mine has been struggling with alcoholism and drug addiction. I recently spoke with him and recommended that he check out some sermons from Greg Laurie on YouTube. I told him how I came to Christ after watching one of Greg's sermons. Please pray for him. So we hope you'll join us in praying for this man. And second, follow this person's lead and invite people you know to check out Pastor Greg's teaching here on A New Beginning, on YouTube, or through Harvest at Home at harvest.org. And lastly, send Pastor Greg an email and let him know how this program has touched your life. Email Greg at harvest.org.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.